Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll get right back to the calls here in just a moment, but last night it was Patriots porn. I mean, Jerry Thornton had to call a doctor because it lasted more than 4 hours.
That happens.
So, Showtime, inside the NFL, every once in a while they do one of these things where they mic up Bill Belichick. And, you know, the guy who steps to the podium on Wednesdays is not exactly a ball of fire.
No.
It's not necessarily a ball of fire on the sidelines either, but at least he says stuff. You get to hear
different.
Stuff.
It's a different thing, and it's funny because a guy who doesn't say anything in these press conferences and kind of makes sport of it, he does really care about the history of the game. Like, he loves that part of it. And that's why, you know, you even got some of those behind the scene things that he was able to do before. Cause I think he likes the idea of sort of documenting the game. And so years from now, people will be able to look back and see what it's like, you know, when Bill Belichick is talking to Brady on the sideline, or when Bill Belichick has Randy Moss in his office, or things like that. Like, he is okay, kind of oddly enough, with opening the door to NFL films.
He trusts NFL films.
Yeah.
He knows that they're not going to make him look bad, and he trusts them. So let's start pregame. Bill Belichick had a couple of sideline meet and greets.
Ooh.
One was with a 102-year-old World War II vet.
That was pretty cool.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
And the other was a guy who was holding a big silver trophy on the sidelines.
And we're efforting. See, Dale makes fun of Rossi all the time, and then Rossi's out for one day.
And now Eamon's going to get
clobbered. It's harder than you think.
I see, that's why I never
say
words.
No, it is not,
yes,
Eamon.
Yes, it is.
Eamon does listen to the show, though, Jason does not.
Unlike Jason, no, that's true.
Lucy,
Jason's usually doing
why don't you go
thing.
Over and take over there for Eamon?
See,
I could probably do both jobs at this point.
Oh, boy, now she's really...
Jeez, that's harsh.
Now's a good time to let the listener know that I had about 8 chicken wings in a 3-minute span during the break. Woofed them down.
We do have to once again thank the nice folks from Roach Brothers who brought. Now and I was only half joking on the air.
No, it was like 20 pounds.
People, that all the food they brought in was true. People who now work in the other building.
Oh.
Came back here
because
they heard me say.
No, Dale, it was embarrassing.
I mean, all of a sudden, the guys from AAF, I haven't seen Mike Shue in weeks.
There.
He's in there loading up a plate a few minutes ago.
A lot of people I've never seen before, jackals, vultures, whatever you want to call them. I couldn't believe
all
that.
Of a sudden, the promotions department was in here.
Everybody was here. Everybody was down here just picking at our food. It was unbelievable to see that.
And we were.
So did people not bring their own lunch?
We were pleased to share.
There's a cafeteria downstairs.
Yeah, but there isn't over there.
Oh, that's true.
Well, over in the new building.
So you still had to get up and leave. There's plenty of other places you can go. We got to show up here. We got to stick outside the studio.
It probably looked like the gumball rally leaving that building trying to get over here
heard
me say that Roach Brothers had brought in 20 pounds of wings and a 5-foot sandwich.
So I was letting, you know, the line clear, basically. I couldn't get in there the first 2 hours they were here. So then during this last break, I was able to... scarfed. Joey Chestnut would have been proud of how many wings I ate.
In the amount of time.
Just rifle those things down.
So, Eamon, did we kill enough time for you here, pal? I mean,
no.
I'm looking for the pregame Cora cut, and of course it is not
still efforting.
You mean this one that's on my list right here? That one?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, good.
Listen.
This one went so well in rehearsal.
You know, you make plans and God laughs. Isn't that the line?
He may be, but
whatever.
I'm not finding it so amusing.
No, it's
right
not
now.
As good. Do you have any audio from Belichick, Eamon? Just not that one? Do you have anything else that we could possibly use here? If not, no communication. Nothing. Lucy, is the show on in that room?
Hello?
Is the show on in that room? Call Rossi. Somebody call Rossi. This is unbelievable. Rossi's so happy right now. He's like, man, I thought...
He's going, this is great.
Guess who found
Belichick
it?
Is a man of the people.
Hey, let me see what that looks like.
Oh, come on.
Be they World Series champions.
That's awesome.
Grab it.
I've earned it.
Please, do the honor, man. Thank you.
Or World War veterans.
102-year-old grandfather's his birthday today. Served in World War II.
Congratulations.
A great man.
Yeah, it's an honor. It's an honor to meet you. Thank you for being here. 102, I love it.
I went to a ride in school, and it was worth it.
My dad would have been 100 next year, so it was a great generation.
We were hoping to meet you. I'm proud that we did. He says he's going to make it to 120.
There you go.
So the first part was Cora trying to convince Bill he could touch the World Series trophy. Bill obviously thinks it's like the Stanley Cup.
He didn't win it.
You can't touch it if you haven't earned it.
The World Series trophy, by the way, is a pile of trash. That is
that's a little harsh.
It is. First of all,
because a beer can broke off a couple of the flags.
It looks very dangerous, first of all. Like, if you could sit on all of the World Series or all the trophies, you wouldn't want to sit on that one.
No, the Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup, sit right
nice,
in there. Have
soft,
a great time.
You fit your bum right in there.
Not that
ours would fit.
The
but
Super
it's
Bowl
just...
trophy would be an odd seat, too. But it wouldn't be as painful, Dale, as the World Series. That's how I kind of rank them. Like, which one could you have a sit on? That would be the last one. The World Series trophy is gross. With all the flags and everything else, it just looks dumb. They can do better. If America's pastime has the lamest trophy.
Bill didn't think he could touch it. And Cora
Maybe
assured
he just didn't
him,
want
yes,
to. He's like,
it.
I don't want to get hurt. Well, look at that thing. It looks like a weapon.
And by the way, the World War II vet had a Patriots jersey on with the number 102.
That was pretty good.
On his jersey.
Pretty good.
And,
he can wear whatever he wants.
You know, we've talked about this because a week ago it was, hey, how come Bill's not wearing the salute to the troops gear like everybody else? And we've said he is as patriotic and as supportive of the military.
God, yeah.
And when he said it was an honor to meet this World War II veteran, he was dead serious.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great generation.
Yeah, it's funny to hear like just him. Right, and that's right before the game starts, too. And he's on the field, and you would think a guy wouldn't want any to, you know, if he has to do a pregame interview, like if he had to do that, like on the sideline with somebody, he'd be so mad, just kind of, you know, snort. And then meanwhile, he's talking to Alex Cora, he's talking to a World War II veteran, and he's a completely different side of him.
All right, let's get another Belichick cut here, talking about, you know, wanting to know if everything was okay on this run.
Belichick can hang with anyone. But to hang with his team, that takes something extra special.
Hey, we gotta have the run now. Are we okay on this?
Off the run, on the run, it makes no difference. Aaron Rodgers can throw from anywhere. His two touchdown passes had the game tied in the third quarter.
I'm going to suggest
that
NFL Films needs to update the music
cool
library.
With the horns. What are they? What is that?
It sounds like a cigarette commercial from the 60s.
It really does. I'm waiting for them just to turn it right into Brass Bonanza. Like, there's a lot of filler there. Like, hey, I don't know. Just let the band play. Hey, just let the band play.
They bought all this Herb Alpert stuff. They're damn well going to use it for crying out loud.
Who's the voiceover guy there? I'll tell you what. He's no Liev Schreiber. That guy can really voice over some stuff.
Makes no difference.
He's got nice pipes.
Nah, I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers can throw from anywhere.
Bill James is talking about replaceable guys.
Yeah, anybody can.
That guy's replaceable.
I did like this next cut where Bill gets
assuming
a little.
Assuming Eamon has it.
Well,
you're kind of going out on a limb here.
Sort of flying blind here.
I don't know. Do I?
Yes, Eamon, let's just say you're already at two strikes. Just saying. Lucy will be sitting in that seat in a minute here. So this is Belichick. At one point, he ran down the field because he was going to call a timeout.
Yeah.
And then he decided not to call it, and he went back, and the officials were getting mad at him because he was outside the coaching box.
Did you need something down there, Coach?
Maybe. I was maybe calling to call timeout, yeah.
Well, we need you if you're going to call him.
Oh, look. No. I get this every week. If you need a timeout, call on down and call it. So I came down there. I didn't take it, and then I moved back.
Okay.
I mean, come on, fellas.
I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I got to concentrate on the snap. Right?
Okay, and I would have told you if I needed it, but I wanted to see what the formation was, and it was a key play in the game.
All right, we'll work together.
All right, I mean, I'm not going to get out there and get in the way.
I'm not going to get in the way. You got Belichick on the field running around.
Now, do you actually believe that he ran down there thinking he was going to call a timeout, and then he decided not to? Because I don't believe that.
I don't think he really tells
the
truth.
Get down there and get in the way.
Yeah, well, you might. They were afraid of
There's
that.
There's a lot of people down there, a lot of bodies.
What
flying
did he say
around
at the beginning? Where he's like, maybe? Like, do you need something here, Coach?
Do you need something down there, Coach?
Maybe.
None of your business. None of your business.
That sounds like an argument with my wife at home. You know, maybe.
I do like the official.
Dale, did you pick up the socks that you left on the floor in the bathroom? Maybe.
On the floor still. Can you explain that?
Maybe.
Yeah, he was. That was pretty good. I like the official actually giving him the business back a little bit. That was good. Because those are some of the best conversations when you hear mic'd up, like the referee with the coach or referee with the player at times. Because that's something that watching the game, you have no idea of. Because sometimes when after a play, you'll see like a player or the coach just kind of mouth something and you can sort of, all right, they obviously are unhappy with whatever. But like the back and forth there, like the whole conversation, like that's pretty cool to hear.
Second half, especially for the Patriots, one of the keys to the victory was the pass rush that they were able to put on Aaron Rodgers. And Bill talked about sticking with it.
Hey, the pass rush is what we want. We just got to keep doing it. Hey, we got to keep doing it for 60 minutes. The pass rush is what we want, all right? Keep working the out of those guards. Keep him in a pocket. He's trying to throw us two interceptions now. We're going to get one, all right? He's just lobbing it up there. That's a great job. Keep pressing him. If he runs backwards, all right, then run him out of bounds. That's great, all right? Let's stay with that rush now.
They had a good rush. In the second half, they had a pretty good rush. And again, didn't show up necessarily with, you know, a ton of sacks or anything like that, or even picking them off. But you know, it wasn't a comfortable second half for Aaron Rodgers.
So you heard him say to his team, you know, he's tried to throw us a couple of interceptions here.
Yeah.
Well, that did not sit well with Skip Bayless.
I was shocked that he would speak so negatively about a great quarterback that he praised so effusively, so profusely ahead of the football game. So to me, Bill Belichick was saying that Aaron Rodgers will get gun-shy and careless if you just keep him in the pocket and keep turning up the heat on him. And Belichick is saying that he already was getting panicky because he had already tried to throw them two interceptions by, to quote Belichick, lobbing it up there. Lobbing it up there? Yeah. Aaron Rodgers just sort of flicking it out of the pocket when he felt the heat start to get to him. I don't know if he's suggesting Aaron is starting to lose his nerve after he's been
hit
too much. Well, I don't know.
I do.
Maybe.
So dumb. That's just a terror. I mean, a lot of Skips are, and he's very successful. Like, you know what he's
doing.
He
makes more than me.
But, yeah,
and you
does. He,
and Lucy. And
combined. Right. No, he's
well, maybe not more than Lucy.
And triple that.
But so, yeah, right. So he knows what he's doing. But just listening to what he's saying. So Belichick still thinks Aaron Rodgers is great. There's no doubt. And I'm sure we even have a cut of the post game afterward. Or was that maybe that was Brady. But we know that he thinks Aaron Rodgers is great.
We're getting there.
So what are you supposed to tell your team? Like, hey, he's great. There's nothing you can do to stop him. No, that would be even dumber than what Skip said. So obviously he's trying to find a way to get whatever advantage possible defensively and tell his guys what to do. That's the best way to slow down a good quarterback.
So post game, game's over, Patriots win. Belichick out on the field, hugs Mike McCarthy. Says, thank God you're the coach of the Green Bay
Packers.
That
helped.
He didn't say that.
That helped us today. Thanks.
But he sought out that quarterback that poor Skip thought he was being boastful about.
The Patriots ended the night just as they'd started it, pressing flesh.
Take care, baby.
With those they admire.
Great job. Good luck. Great story, man. No, you are. You are. You're awesome. Yeah, good luck.
All right, with the brass bonanza.
That is aggressive.
So,
no, you're the best.
That was Aaron, Aaron Rodgers, who he's saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers saying to him, hey, you're the best. He's, no, you are.
No, you are. Well, we can't both be the best, can we? No, you're the best. No, you're the best. So he thinks he's the best. Like he, or one of the best, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, like, because he's telling his defense what, like, to put pressure
on him. Keep doing this because he, and look, he was right. He did almost throw two interceptions,
yes.
And he doesn't ever throw interceptions.
No, he's got one on the season, but guess what? He still does. Like, if anybody kind of flicks the ball up there sometimes, it is Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, he definitely does that, but he's got pinpoint accuracy with that, and one of the reasons why he doesn't throw a lot of picks. But, like, I don't understand how you take what a coach says in-game to his defense, and then you try to spin that into, well, he obviously doesn't think Rodgers is that good.
That's not what he was saying at all.
No.
So then the final cut we're going to play for you, and everybody was wondering about this. There was the play where the touchdown pass to Josh Gordon, and it went over the outstretched arms of Julian Edelman, who kind of jumped up, you know, like he thought the pass was to him. So Bill goes right to the source.
Yeah, what happened?
Finds out where the pass was going.
Right, for a while I thought he just overthrew Julian Edelman.
I did too. But Josh Gordon was wide open, and that was that.
We throw on that, too.
That was a job. All right.
He goes right to Brady. Who are you throwing that to?
Josh.
That was to Josh.
Well, the guy who scored the touchdown, obviously that's who I was throwing to. To Josh. Like, really, though?
I actually think it was to Josh.
I do too, but they were both wide open.
Because he's had some inaccurate passes this year, but not that inaccurate.
No, that was way over.
Free throw on that too.
That was a Josh. All right.
All right.
Yeah, what's he going to do? Yeah. Hey, you tell me the truth
then
now.
Like, I was throwing to Julian, so kind of a happy accident there. What's he going to say? Of course he's going to say you're throwing to Josh. Then they can really sell. Then at that point, then Bill's like, hey, Josh, nice job. Good job.
They did have one segment, which we could play for you, but it would just be a bunch of music. Because there were a whole bunch of cuts of Belichick just standing there. And he's watching plays, and he's not saying anything. And Barstool pieced them all together and talked about, paraphrasing, what a ball of fire he is on the sidelines.
Yeah.
He's just standing there. Watching. You know, guys are going crazy around him. They recover a fumble. He's just standing there.
Yeah, no. He's not going to get excited about a Week 9 game. Come on.
Well, sometimes. Look, he certainly gives you more when you're watching NFL films than he does anyplace else.
Correct. Yeah, it's different. It's not the snorting. It's fun to watch. The staring. And, you know, it's just more of a quick back and forth with, like, the officials or with players. Like, he's going to be a different relationship than the media.
Well, it was funny because when the game was going on Sunday night, you saw Bill over on the sidelines talking to his defense. And there was some thought on Twitter, not that Twitter's a cesspool or anything.
No, it's fine.
Saying, you know, he's obviously upset with his defense. He doesn't believe in his defense. And then we heard the cut. And he's saying, you're doing exactly what we want you to do. And it's just the opposite. And it's that classic, you know, careful when you read into body language for these guys.
The pass rush is what we want.
And he's getting it from him, and he was happy about
it. It was good. Good performance.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. As we get back to the calls with you guys, text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
You know, you're not obligated to play more NFL Films music. You can switch it up now and then. 617-779-7937. So, since he got fired as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, probably about a year too late. Since he got fired, Hugh Jackson's been kind of making the media rounds out there.
He's been very busy. We've heard much more from him in the last 2 weeks than the last 2.5 years.
So, he was on with Shannon Sharp. And Shannon Sharp, you know, was asking the question we were all wondering about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what finally was the breaking point for the Browns with Josh Gordon? Why did they finally just say, because what we've seen of
they
Gordon
stuck
is
by him for a long time.
A long time. Yeah. And what we've seen is when he's on the field, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So Shannon Sharp was asking Hugh Jackson about why Josh Gordon was traded from the Browns.
I mean, we know what type of talent Josh Gordon is. And sometimes I think players need different sceneries, you know, in order to be all they can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that this young man had dealt with had been in Cleveland. You know, mm-hmm. that's all he knew. So I think he's in a place and a better place for him professionally, emotionally, mentally. And I think you're starting to see the real Josh Gordon, and I wish him well.
Was that your choice to cut ties with him?
We made a decision as an organization just to move forward.
Because of what happened on that Saturday when he had an appearance and then had a hamstring?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously that's internal business, and I'll keep it at that. But we made a decision that we truly felt was best for the organization to move forward. And it was the right thing to do for the young man and for the organization.
Mm. Mm. It's getting. So was that the best? Was that the right thing for the Browns to do?
It might have been. I mean, I'm even willing to accept that they felt, you know what, we just got to move on.
Yeah, I mean, but they. Again,
he's got the workout for some. He's got this promotional video that's shot on a Friday night.
Right.
He shows up late Saturday, and he showed up late a lot. Showed up late Saturday, and suddenly his hamstring is bothering him from the aggressive promo shoot from the night before.
Yeah, didn't he run like a 40? I think he ran like a 40 for the shoot.
And it was at their facility.
Yeah.
They thought, well, we'll do it here, Josh. You know, we'll do you a favor.
But he hasn't missed any. I mean, the only game he missed was that week, but it was also his first week with the Patriots. So he probably wasn't going to play. That week two he didn't play, but that's because they were trying to trade him. So maybe he couldn't have been, maybe he wouldn't have been healthy for that one game. If you're talking about a hamstring injury, I think you might kind of linger a little bit, and he seems fine out on the field. Now, he doesn't seem like the fastest guy in the world, but he never was. He
dislocated his finger about 3 times.
Oh, God, he kept popping that thing back into place. But, yeah, they were kind of, I guess they were done with him. I'm just surprised because they waited for so long, and then they did it in such a weird way where they said they were going to cut him. Then all this stuff got out about the promo shoot, and then remember that one report about the guy was like, oh, he didn't seem right. Like, all that stuff got out before you traded him. So it's like, are you just trying to submarine his trade value? Like, what
and it was
doing?
The right thing to do for the young man and for the organization.
Mm. Yeah, man, definitely for the young man. It seems like he's in a much better spot.
Do you believe that they really are concerned more about the young man than they are the organization? I don't either.
I do not, and I also don't think they need to be. Like, that's not really their job. You know, you want to get the most out of them, and at times, you know, you're going to have to do things differently. For example, the Patriots aren't treating Josh Gordon the same way they're treating Chris Hogan or, you know, Philip Dorsett or whatever. You know, they know that they got to, you know, be on this guy a little bit more, have a little bit more of a support system for him than for other guys. But once they go somewhere else, they can say whatever they want, but they don't really care. I mean, once the Browns got rid of him, like, fine. Like, you might somewhat get attached to the guy, and everybody has a different relationship between the GM, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, whatever. And just as a fellow human, you might be like, hey, like, I hope he does well, but I don't know.
And they probably do feel that, you know, they don't wish him ill.
Like, no, they don't wish him ill, but I don't know if that would really ruin them either.
Probably thinking, well, what do I care? Yeah, he helped cost me my job anyway.
I don't think Hugh Jackson is going to be a head coach anytime soon.
He probably doesn't either. That's why he's doing all this stuff.
No, he is. But he also, he said on the one hand, like, yeah, what happened that Saturday, that was I guess that was more just the straw that broke the camel's back, because I don't know how many chances did they give the guy? You know, they gave him a bunch, and not just Hugh Jackson, but even the coaching staff before him there. That whole organization gave him a bunch of
chances. And you'd have given him a whole bunch more.
I would have, yeah, sure. Wouldn't have been as bad. If I was running the Browns, Dale, it'd be a lot better than what they've been. Figured them out quick.
Would have changed everything. If you'd been running the organization,
right. I would not have.
They'd have won four games in 3 years.
And by the way, I would not have Greg Williams be my acting head coach either. What a clown that guy is.
Well, did you read today where Todd Haley thought he was going to be the interim coach?
Just from watching Hard Knocks. They made the Browns interesting, so kudos to Hard Knocks. But I thought Todd Haley seemed like would be the guy. Not that you would want to have him be your long-term head coach, but I thought once they fired Hugh Jackson, it would be him. But they got rid of both of them. And then Greg Williams, the guy behind Bounty Gate. And then the best is, I mean, I guess if you just believe it, it's you know, it could be pretty entertaining. But he says, you know, I've had like 11 teams want me to be their head coach, and four of them said I didn't even need to interview. It's like, well, that's not how this works, Greg.
Greg, we're going to ship out a contract. If you wouldn't just mind signing it, bring it with you when you come back.
Oh, my God. Greg Williams, he's not going to be a head coach next year. He's going to finish out this year with the Browns. They've already won more games than they did the last
Bruce
2 years Irvin. Combined.
Bruce Arians is going to be their coach next year.
Well, I don't think he's a good coach either, but he
I
might,
think
he
he's
going to
be their coach.
Yeah. Not Josh McDaniels?
I think Josh is staying here.
I think he is too.
And I think Bruce Arians is going to be the guy.
Ugh. Poor Baker Mayfield.
Get your ass back there, you fucking goofball!
You goofball.
By the way, you say all the other stuff before that.
I think I'm a goofball.
And then you go with goofball.
Yeah.
I got to clean it up here.
Greg Williams.
Could be recording this. You don't know.
You never know.
Jim's in Everett. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Dale, can we compare the Josh Gordon situation to Tyler Seguin? I mean, we had a great star, and we let him go because we couldn't handle him.
You know, I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand. I think there is something to that. I think that there was the Bruins would never deny the talent that Tyler Seguin had. They just didn't feel that they were ever going to see it to the level that they expected.
I think it's an interesting comparison. I think the biggest difference is Seguin was never told by the league, you can't play this year because of stuff you did.
That's
right?
Why I
like
hesitated. More he was never suspended or anything like that. From a talent perspective, are we ever going to get out of this player what we think he has? I think, Jim, that point is obviously valid, but Tyler Seguin was never suspended by the league or anything
that.
No, but we thought he was good enough. We were babysitting him at the door. You know, we were trying to do everything we could to contain him because it looked like he had the potential.
For sure. He is a very talented guy. The Bruins wouldn't have denied that. You could make an argument, if you want to, that maybe he hasn't gotten the most out of the talent that he has at this point of his career.
Well, this year, all of a sudden, a huge step back. Not to go down this whole wormhole, but what's up with him? He has 3 goals.
Well, did you hear? There was a story told where one of his coaches said, well, you know, from your time with the Bruins, You know, who was it that you really, you know, felt you wanted to watch, you wanted to study? He didn't even hesitate. He said Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
Plays the game, you know, the perfect way.
Oh, of course.
Plays 200 feet, you know, plays offense, plays defense, plays special teams, does everything. And the coach supposedly said to him, well, don't you think you should play that like that? And he said, no, it's not any fun.
He's like, what do you want me to do?
What? Well, work back there?
But to be fair, he's not alone in thinking that. They could all admire Bergeron, but then
I mean, he's one of the few who would say, no, that's not any fun.
I mean, Sagan had 40 goals last year, and he was a plus player. So, I mean, he's definitely insanely talented, and he's had some really good seasons. But this year, all of a sudden, and not just the game against the Bruins, but he has really struggled. Three goals in 15 games?
Barry Peterson made the point that what he needs to be is Phil Kessel. In other words, Kessel goes to Pittsburgh. He's not the guy. He's not the centerpiece. He's not the first line. In fact, he was a third line player on a Stanley Cup team.
But just
Tyler Seguin, Dallas Stars are never going to win a cup if Tyler Seguin is the centerpiece.
Mm. Is he better than Jamie Benn?
No.
Yeah, so there you go. So isn't he in a good spot?
But a lot of times they're playing together. In other words...
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying, don't even have him with the top line?
Like, Kessel didn't play with, you know, Crosby and Malkin and you know, he was, and I don't mean to downgrade, he was an important part of winning
them.
their cups.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like, this is the guy, you got to win this thing.
And then that
us.
Way, you know, the opposing team doesn't have their top pair D on those guys.
Now, going
else.
Back to the Gordon comparison.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, he was the guy. You know, he was the most talented player there.
Well, and they treated him so differently. And not that they shouldn't in the sense that, oh, like you're preparing, you know, again, the support staff. But even in Hard Knocks, when they were talking about him, they're like, is the big fish here? Is the big fish here? Oh,
right,
the Eagles? Like they kind of like walked on eggshells around him because I don't think they knew what to do. And so if he left in the middle of practice to go into the locker room and check his phone, they weren't going to say anything. Like they didn't want to get him upset, or like they didn't want to trigger him or whatever it was. And it just, with the exception of that one season pre Hugh Jackson, it didn't work there.
And here, you know, Josh Gordon obviously is never going to be the guy. You got a guy named Brady who's going to carry that mantle,
right.
And
it's a great spot.
And he's not Gronk,
right?
I'd make a case he's not even as important to this team as James White.
Nope, probably not. Maybe not even Edelman. I mean, those guys would.
He might be the fourth or fifth.
Yeah. Offensive player.
And I'd even say skill player. I'd even, you know, delineate it even further, because Dante Scarnecchia would tell you there's some offensive linemen there who are more important.
Although they seem, going back to Bill James, they seem pretty replaceable. If you lose Shaq Mason and put in Ted Karras and there was really no drop-off that I could see.
Because the greatest position coach in the NFL.
But that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't put any of those guys over Gordon. Like they're important, but I'm just saying, like, they've actually proven that they can. You can't lose all five of them, but like if you lose one or two of them, they seem to be able to patch it up pretty
well. Well, that's why, and I said if you're talking about skill position players, Josh Gordon's probably the fourth or fifth most important on the team.
Yeah, Brady, Gronk, Edelman, White would be all.
I'd put them all ahead of him.
Yeah, that's fair.
And if he's the fifth most important skill position player,
pretty good.
Now you're in good shape.
You got quite a team. Yeah,
and they do. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Nauseating me to ask as a New York sports
fan. Then ask it and get it over with.
Boston the center of the sports universe right now, Mark?
It is right now. And people asked me earlier if I could, you know, win and never win another championship. And, who would I want to see win? My son's playing L.A. City Ducks are in the Super Bowl on Saturday in L.A. And that's the victory that we want. But it is, you know, it's amazing how much the city has been winning. And, you know, but let's not forget New York has 27 World Series. So I think you guys
gentlemen.
Are doing okay.
Hey, Mark, that's a gentleman, Mark. I will remember that when New York's on top, and I will show you the same kindness.
Mark,
no one else from Boston.
So that's Marky Mark. Mark Wahlberg was in. He's in the car wash at ESPN today. That was on First Take.
His kid plays for the Ducks?
Well, that's the name of his Pop Warner team, yes.
Who gives a flying crap?
Well, he's trying to give a little shout-out to the kid's Pop Warner team.
Oh, my God, save it.
So Mark has been here filming a new Robert Parker movie.
Is that right?
And he's been, and he's got a new movie out. So
yeah, that one
kinda
looks great.
My son's playing LA City Ducks are in the Super Bowl on Saturday in LA, and that's the victory that we want.
He's in the
LA City Ducks.
The Super Ducks?
I don't know. Anyway,
that movie with Rose Byrne looks like a real treat for the viewer.
Why do you think he's working so hard out there shilling this thing? Because so anyway, he's in the car wash at ESPN. That was on First Take. Earlier today, he was on the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz.
Sure.
Now, Stu Gatz is a big Jets fan. You couldn't tell by listening to him, right?
No, you would have no idea. You'd
never be able to guess that. And he was joking with Wahlberg that Wahlberg, who's in tight with the Patriots, should just tell Tom Brady to hang him up and retire.
I'm a Jets fan. Can you call him and tell him to retire already? I mean...
Oh, gosh. Stu Gatz, I feel for you, buddy. I mean, I remember sitting around talking to Kraft and Belichick, and it was like, God, you know, the Jets, they got to get rid of Rex Ryan. They're like, no, we love him. We don't want Rex Ryan going anywhere.
Damn laughing. You.
But,
So, yeah. His sideline pass for the Patriots is about to evaporate.
Well, it should have anyway. He left at halftime of the Super Bowl against the Falcons.
His son wasn't feeling well.
And then he blamed the son. I don't know what's worse, leaving the game or then putting it all on your kids. So, but that's what happened. And, yeah, I don't think Belichick and Kraft are going to be thrilled about him telling stories like that. Like, that is just
that
like a private
saying,
joke.
Kraft and Belichick were saying, no, we want the Jets to keep Rex Ryan.
And by the way, since Belichick has been the head coach of the Patriots, could you make the case that Rex Ryan is actually the second best coach in the AFC East? Right?
By the way,
who's better than him?
During his six seasons with the Jets, Rex went 4-9 against the Patriots, but his final 4 years, he was only 1-7.
I was going to say,
two seasons with Buffalo, he's now 5-12 head to head against Belichick.
Right. And one of those, I think, was a Jacoby Brissett game. But regardless, it still counts. But the reality is, Rex Ryan went to the AFC Championship game his first 2 years and beat the Patriots in the playoffs one of those years. As bad as the AFC East has been, he's the next best guy. Who's better than him? And four wins against Belichick is probably pretty good compared to some of those other losers that have been.
Gase can only hope.
That's what I'm saying. Or like all the Bills guys before Rex Ryan.
Kid gets hot.
Yeah, Rex was hot. Rex and Mark Sanchez, those guys went to back-to-back AFC Championship games. But yeah, the bottom line there is I don't think Kraft and Belichick, who thought they were just telling a joke with Mark Wahlberg, expected him to go on the air and say that.
I'm probably not happy that he did, but you know what? They'll still welcome him back.
Why not?
Come on down to the sidelines.
He is the number one Boston sports celebrity, isn't he? Everybody, isn't he the guy?
Maybe.
He's not my pick, but I think he just kind of, he has become
the face. We go
with
IMDb, you know, the whole breakdown and box office. He's probably made more money.
Than most Boston people?
Yeah, probably. Him and Affleck or...
Affleck, Damon.
Well, Affleck had that Batman movie, too.
Yeah, he did. He made a ton of money with that, and he was in Justice League. Made a ton of money with that.
So maybe it's Affleck.
Wahlberg's in that new one with Rose Byrne, though, where they adopt
catch,
the whole
that's
family.
Not catch
you don't
anybody.
Like that one?
No.
My dear friend, give it up for Robert Kraft!
Like, every year, there has to be a movie that is the worst. That's just the way that
well,
it is.
Well, I don't know if this is the worst.
It might be. I think it has a great chance. I think it has a great chance to be the worst movie made in 2018. Have you seen the previews for it?
Yeah. Okay. There was one just on a minute ago.
It's so bad.
I swear the reason that he's down there doing all these hits on ESPN is that they said, look, we'll run a bunch of spots for your new movie.
Is the movie, right, the movie must up. Be out this weekend? That'd be my guess.
I don't know.
What is the name of that movie? We'll figure it out.
What they become is a foster family, right? I mean, they get like three kids or something. It's called Instant Family.
Oh,
thank you, Lucy. It's called Instant Family. And as a, I would say, slight concern. And so the website Rotten Tomatoes, they always have their.
Wait a minute. Did you say tomatoes?
Some do, some don't.
I don't.
I do. So Rotten Tomatoes has their scores.
I just can't get over that.
And so this one has no score posted yet, which is usually not a great sign.
No, usually if they don't let anybody see it before premiere, if they don't let the critics get a gander at it.
Because there are other movies that come out that week that come out on the 16th that do have scores attached to them, but they might be a little afraid that it gets absolutely buried in nobody's seen. Yeah, there's a chance. Might not be certified fresh, would be my guess.
Texter says Wahlberg was the highest paid actor last year, made $68
million. Is that right?
Hard for me to believe he beat The Rock.
I doubt that.
I think he's the worst.
I mean, he might have been the highest paid Boston actor.
Might have.
I don't know.
Are you talking about 2017? That's what you're talking about? Last year? All right, we'll try to find
it. Every one of Rock's movies makes a bazillion dollars.
Yeah, Rock makes a ton of money. Let's see. Oh, the annual list. Oh, this is not good.
That's the victory that we want.
Yeah. I'm efforting on that. But I would say the answer is no.
Well, it looks like the texter is correct. In 2017,
he was the highest paid
$68 million, he was the highest paid actor, according to Forbes.
Well, good job by the texter. I would not have guessed that at all. Well, cause, yeah, my bad, my bad.
So now the question,
because he was in what, like a Transformers movie probably that made all that money? It wasn't...
Transformers, The Last Knight. Also, Daddy's Home 2.
Oh, don't forget so, Daddy's that one, Home 2. Don't forget that one. He was in some really good movies, though, back in the day. Fear, Boogie Nights, and Fear.
And Boogie Nights.
Yeah, he was in all of those.
Well, you know, while we're on the subject, and just briefly as we wrap up this hour, I did get through all 10 episodes of The Haunting of Hill House.
What did you think, Dale?
I am not giving away any spoilers.
Good.
I'm not going to do that.
Last time you spoiled the
I'm not
pants
spoiling
off
anything.
For Rossi. Okay,
I'm just going to say, you know what? Really well done.
It was cool, right? It was good.
It was kind of scary. Well, that's Haunting of Hill House.
But,
what did you think? Did you think it was a musical?
Yeah, but just because something says, hey, we're a scary movie, doesn't mean it's scary or a scary TV show. It's like every comedy is not always funny. So this did have some scares. And so basically, this is the book. The Haunting of Hill House, and then they made the movie, and they just called it The Haunting. Then they remade it, and it was terrible, like in the late 90s. So now they made it a 10-part Netflix series. I liked it. It was really well done. It was well done, yeah.
I thought the acting was exceptional.
It was very good.
A couple of the long monologues. The guy who was the caretaker in Hill House did this long monologue.
He wouldn't shut up.
But it was
brilliant. No, I know. It was good.
It was really well done.
It was good.
I'm a big Carla Gugino fan.
Oh, who isn't?
So,
I mean, come on. She was
bring
very
her back
good.
Out there in her nightgown again.
The dude who played Elliot in
Oh,
E.T.?
I gave something away.
The nightgown.
Wore the nightgown.
She was in
a
nightgown a
lot.
Yeah, she was in a
fair amount
of
the nightgown. Yeah.
Good amount of time.
Yeah. Henry Thomas, was that his name? The kid who was E.T.?
So. Yeah, Elliot from E.T. Yeah, he was in there.
He was in there.
As an adult.
You know what? I'm just saying.
Check it
out. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
A couple of moments scared the crap out of me.
Yes.
Which is what you want to go for.
That's
what you're
looking for.
One in particular. I'm not saying anything else.
Mm-hmm.
One in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I might have had to go change. I mean, it was
like, really? What, you ruined your shorts at one point? it's going to happen.
One brief, tiny, shining moment that came at you out of nowhere.
Yeah. I was definitely scared by that.
And I did come in and say to you, what about this? And you
went,
around the time of Halloween.
Yeah, it was smart.
Just after Halloween, wrapped it up.
I think it's pretty popular. A lot of people have been talking about it. I think it did well. I don't know if Netflix releases their numbers or whatever, but I think a lot of people watch that thing.
So my friend Amy Bruni, you know, who's the ghost hunter?
Of course.
So she spent this week investigating a haunted plantation.
Oh, boy.
And so she was spending the night. She and Adam were spending the night alone in this haunted plantation.
Side note, I bet all plantations are haunted.
It seems that way. But she actually, on Instagram, sent out a video. And she said, I just woke up. I have no makeup on. But I want you to hear.
Don't judge me.
But I want you to hear what's going on here.
Oh, God.
And you hear all the. But anyway.
Ooh.
Walls were thumping.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. No, you could hear it clear as day.
Oh, I don't like that.
So just before she went, the night before she went, she slogged through a bunch of episodes of Hill House.
Oh.
And I texted her and I said,
not a good idea.
What are you
Speaking
thinking
of slamming
here?
Walls. No,
Let's
thank
not
you.
Watch Hill House and then go spend a couple of nights in a haunted plantation.
No, that is scary.
That's a bad plan.
That is very scary.
That doesn't sound scary at all, Amy.
Kind of scary. It's not bad. If it was Rossi, he just would have played that horn. So at least
some wailing.
Wailing
over and over. Just
that is kind of scary. That's terrible.
Sounds like somebody trying to go to the bathroom or something.
Is that what you sound like when you're trying to go to the bathroom?
Well, not me.
I think
but
you have
someone.
Kidney stones, Dale. You might want to get that looked at.
Oh, guess what, Amy?
Oh, Amy, you're done. You're doing such a great job today, too. And then you got to ruin it with that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Right back to the calls coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.